Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Maliha Haq on behalf of Petitioners Kaur and Singh. In these pre-Real ID cases, petitioners submit that the record compels reversal of the agency's decision to deny their applications for asylum, withholding, and cat protection. In this case, as Your Honors know, there is a motion pending for mediation, and it was not filed by the petitioners, although it was unopposed by us. We did not oppose it because we thought that we could narrow some of the issues down. I would like to hear actually from the respondent, and then if I can just reserve my time as to why they had thought it necessary to file this motion.
Well, we'll take that up at conference, but why don't you argue the merits of your case?
Okay. I can do that, Your Honor. As for the case of Baljinder, we believe that no reasonable fact finder could find that Baljinder was not credible. The IJ made a demeanor finding which used boilerplate language, which is not allowed under the precedent of this court, and should not be deferred to by this panel. The IJ, in also finding her not credible, chose kind of made an inconsistency about whether bribes were paid to release her when there was no inconsistency in that particular point. Her application has said that bribes were paid for her 2 arrests and her father's 2nd arrest, and her testimony reflected the same. And she testified only that she was not sure whether a bribe was paid to release her father after his 1st arrest. She never said that she was not sure whether a bribe was paid for her own release, as the IJ erroneously stated. Her testimony was consistent regarding the amount of mistreatment she faced. Any confusion regarding exactly what happened in her 2 arrests is understandable given the time since they had happened, which they happened in March of 1997 and February 1998, and she was testifying about them in March of 2007.
Can you clarify that for me? Was Kaur sexually harassed during one or both of her arrests?
I believe, Your Honor, that it was one of her arrests, that is what she had testified to. And regarding, she was also, as the panel knows, reluctant to describe the details of exactly what the sexual harassment entailed. But there was some discussion, I would say almost surreal discussion, about exactly what kind of touching constitutes sexual touching. However, we would submit that she was sexually harassed, if not sexually assaulted, in prison, and that goes to the past persecution part of her case.
What's your best case that supports that what Kaur endured constitutes persecution?
Your Honor, we have to look at the cumulative effect of incidents that she had to deal with. She was arrested on 2 occasions without a warrant. She was held for 2 and 5 days, respectively. She was beaten with sticks and belts. She was slapped. She was called names. She was sexually harassed and threatened. Her father was unlawfully arrested 2 times and disappeared. And the cumulative effect of that certainly, we believe, constitutes persecution. And the other, sorry.
What case can you point to? I mean, is there a particular case that you think is aligned with that supports what you just said?
I believe that.
Because it seems like a lot of the cases have more extreme conduct or more.
Your Honor, I don't have a particular case with analogous facts right off the tip of my tongue right now, but I would just submit that the IJ and the BIA also did not take into account the psychological terror of being in control of these police officers and knowing that things could escalate even further. It could have led to rape. It's something that was not.
Do you have a case that supports that, what you just said, that would constitute persecution?
I don't have a case, Your Honor. I don't. Not right now. Sorry. But under Gormley v. Ashcroft, this court has held that the cumulative effect of incidents can be taken into account in noting whether a petitioner has faced past persecution. Indeed, we And sorry, just coming back to credibility now, the only other issue noted by the IJ regarding credibility was differences in dates on her passport, which I believe it was not relevant in any way to any part of her claim. And the IJ also made an issue about he doesn't have any evidence that the father has actually disappeared, but if her testimony is taken as credible, then no further corroboration of her father's disappearance is needed. And the petitioner would also submit that she's entitled to a presumption of future persecution, which has not been rebutted with any particular manner by the IJ or the board in this case. I would like to now go to the case of Singh, which, as the panel knows, has entirely different facts.
It seems to me you've got a tougher road with Mr. Singh because, in fact, he had no political involvement for a long period of time and left AISSF. So how do you respond to the agency's finding on that?
I'm sorry, the finding regarding?
Well, they found him not credible and also noted that he hadn't been an active member of the organization for some time.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, Your Honor, we believe that no reasonable fact finder could find that he was not credible and that he did establish.
Why is that? I mean, they point to all kinds of inconsistencies, identified as multiple material inconsistencies between his application interview and his testimony, and there are some.
Yes, Your Honor, there are some alleged inconsistencies, but I believe that all of them.
Well, they're not alleged. They are. I mean, do you think that this is all consistent?
No, Your Honor, there are some inconsistencies. However, we believe that they are not material enough or go to the heart of his claim such that we believe that he should be found.
Well,
should have been found.
You know, I mean, we worry about boilerplate language. With all respect, that's kind of a boilerplate argument, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, you have to – why aren't they – I mean, you know what they are. I mean, the arrests were different. The parents were involved. The duration of the arrest, the key events on which he hinges his claim of persecution – those are inconsistent.
Your Honor, if Your Honor will allow, I can address them, or I believe that they have been addressed in the briefs, but I can address them again. As far as the date when his membership ended, the IJ said that that petitioner first testified that his membership in ASSF ended in August 95. Or he testified before the asylum office that it was in December 95. Now, there are some inconsistency noted between the asylum office and what he's testified before the court, but petitioner noted repeatedly that there might have been translation errors in his interviews with the asylum office.
Well, might have been doesn't get you anywhere because there's been a finding here that there weren't any.
Yes, Your Honor.
But see, you know, he testified that his final arrest occurred on December 16, 1995, and lasted 4 days. But in his interview, he said that he's talked about different dates and different durations of detention. And, I mean, this is a sort of the hallmark of people who are sort of on the fly, and they can't remember what they said one time, and so the next time it changes a little bit.
Well, Your Honor, about the length of his third arrest, he had, in fact, he never wavered from the fact that his last arrest happened in December of 95.
Yeah, but gave different dates and different durations.
Yes, Your Honor, and in court, he actually lessened the duration. He said that it was 4 days and then rather than 8 days, as he has said in the asylum.
See, he's all over the lot on something that goes to the heart of the claim.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, even noting the fact that he might not have been credible, we believe that he would be subject to future persecution in this situation, even if he had not been involved with ASSF. Your Honor, I think I'm running out of time, and I'd like to reserve the rest of
my
time.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll hear from the government.
May it please the Court. Melissa Nyman-Kelting for the Attorney General.
Would you mind moving the microphone up just a little bit?
Honor.
Thank you.
I understand from Your Honor's comments earlier that you would not prefer to discuss the pending motion right now, and you would prefer to
hear. No, you can go ahead and argue it. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I just said we were going to take it. We'll take up the motion at conference. So that I just thought we want a merits argument.
Of course, I understand, and I'm prepared to discuss that as well, Your Honor. Just wanted to sort of explain a little further the government's reasoning for filing the late in the game motion to refer these cases to mediation. In reviewing these cases, there was some concern raised, especially as to Ms. Cower, that there are some problems with the credibility finding that the agency.
So you're conceding error?
There are two factual errors in the IJ's
decision. So you're conceding that the credibility finding is not supported by the record?
Under this court's case law, Your Honor, it would be difficult for me to stand here and argue to you that it is. And we do have an alternative merits finding in part as to Ms. Cower. The IJ did appear to say that she, even if credible, did not establish past persecution, but made no independent, well-founded fear finding. It was all argued to the board, although I would point out that the credibility grounds were not sufficiently exhausted the way they have been argued to this court. But certainly the issue of credibility was raised, just not to the level of specificity that it has been discussed before the court.
But you want both cases referred to mediation?
Well, there's
because of the familial
relationship.
Well, they've
been consolidated for some reason, even though they are in two entirely different claims. But there are some concerns with Mr. Singh's case as well.
What are you talking about? There are some concerns. What? What's the problem?
Well, I have two concerns, Your Honor, that I came across in preparing these matters for argument was that first, and in fairness and in full disclosure, these have not been raised by either side, so there's...
That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Initially, as everyone is very well aware, Mr. Singh's case has a very long procedural history. It has been back and forth and back and forth. There has never been any BIA discussion about the bases of adverse credibility in Mr. Singh's case is one issue. They affirmed without opinion in 2005 when the IJ rendered her second credibility decision. They affirmed without opinion, as they are permitted to do. And when it came back for the CAT hearing, Mr. Singh, in his appeal to the board after the IJ denied CAT, argued that he would request that the board revisit the asylum and withholding denials and requested that he could incorporate his arguments from the prior hearing, from the prior appeal before the board. The board acknowledged that The board acknowledged that he requested that it consider his arguments, but then indicated that no arguments had been presented and found that there was nothing to overturn the agency's decision.
So you think they didn't rule on a motion, on his argument?
There is some precedent in this court to suggest that the board errs when it doesn't address a party's argument. So
yes, that's pretty firm precedent,
actually. That's pretty firm precedent. Yeah. So it is a matter of disclosure.
To put it in the vernacular, you're conceding error there also.
Well, I need to tread carefully here because certainly it is the petitioner's burden and it has not come up from petitioner's counsel that this was a problem. They proceeded to argue both credibility and the merits.
Let me ask you this, though, before. There are two paths here, maybe three, but two paths. One is we could send it to the circuit mediator, or we could just do a straight remand so that you can revisit that. And I gather you don't – do you have any preference on that? Because actually – it doesn't sound like the result of mediation would be anything but a remand, potentially.
I think that's right, Your Honor. The purpose of the motion.
Right. I mean, you're not talking. Usually, when we send it to mediation, there might be something, some other reason, like a deferred prosecution in play, would give under your guidelines that would
certainly
within the discretion of the executive that the executive may wish to bring up with the mediator. But if I'm understanding your argument today, you're saying you think there are some problems in the case and the government would like to revisit that before the agency, not the mediator.
And that is to clarify and to address your panel's concern in that there were two reasons for the motion. One was to acknowledge that in part there are some insufficiencies with the IJ's decision, at least as to Ms. Cower's case.
But that's a ground to remand. And I don't quite understand the mediation part of the whole thing.
Well,
I, for one, am dissatisfied with the results in most of these immigration cases that get sent to mediation, because the bulk of the cases that I have disappear into mediation, and nothing happens for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have some that are years old that we're hanging on to in our calendar, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden pops out, whoops, we can't do anything. So to me, when somebody says we want to send this to mediation, it suggests that the government is going to somehow be favorable to the people with whom it's mediating. But, you know, I mean, are you going to go to mediation and say they still should get kicked out and we just want to send it back to the agency? So what's the purpose of sending it to mediation? Why don't we just remand it to the board with your concessions? Start over again. I mean, this case already has whiskers.
That is certainly an option, Your Honor. The point of the motion that was at that point, granted, although it was late in the game, was to, as I said, acknowledge that there were some problems in the case, but also to potentially save what limited judicial resources were left to come to bear in this case.
Right. No, it creates a problem for us when either side comes in late with a motion for mediation. Not that we don't appreciate it. We've encouraged the government to mediate the cases, but we prefer it sooner in the game
of
rather
course.
Than later.
And there are,
as you know, recently, because of the new guidance, that there have been a whole lot of requests for mediation based on prosecutorial discretion, not necessarily errors in the judgment. So, and we've taken those up, and the mediators have had some success with that. But as Judge Trott says, a lot of times it can carry on for years. So, it seems to me what you're really you're not objecting to a remand to the agency to address some of these issues. Is that your position?
The purpose was, Your Honor, to acknowledge and to maintain candor and credibility with the court that as far as at least Ms. Cower's case, it seems that under this court's precedent, that adverse credibility finding in light of the factual errors in the IJ's decision and the lack of discussion of the mother's affidavit that corroborates the father's disappearances and arrests, which was one basis that the IJ listed as part of her concern about Ms. Cower's case, is that she had no corroborating evidence as to her father's arrests and disappearances. The affidavit was in the record and not discussed. The fact that the board was not given an opportunity to fully address the arguments that petitioners now raise in the administrative appeal. And the fact that there's no fulsome...
I'm trying to interpret what you're saying. Are you asking us for a plenary remand to the BIA, almost to start over on some of this stuff at the BIA level?
As to Ms. Cower's case, the adverse credibility is the only basis for the asylum denial, and it is not supported by this court's case law. So the answer to Your Honor's question would be yes.
And as to Singh, what?
Well, given that the case is...
Unadjudicated motion.
I'm sorry, please.
I think you mentioned the unadjudicated motion or request.
Request, yeah. But if this, again, it was not raised by petitioner, I would not want the government's position to reflect a plenary remand for Mr. Singh. We are certainly here and prepared to discuss the merits of his case. But in light of the fact that the cases were consolidated and the late timing of the discovery, it seemed the most efficient way was to request mediation in both cases, which petitioner's counsel did not object to sort of narrow the issues and acknowledge that there were some problems with the decisions in the cases. But I think, as Judge Trott pointed out, if the court were interested in proceeding on the merits as to Mr. Singh's petition, certainly the agency decision here in his case as to the credibility was supported by substantial evidence in the record.
Judge McGee had a question.
I have a question.
Yes,
assuming let's just assume for the moment a Cower is credible.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor.
Do you have any – I would like to talk about past persecution, and I asked your colleague if she had any cases that supported the facts in this case do dictate that it should be considered as persecution. Do you have any cases that shed light on why – that it shouldn't be considered as persecution, or what she endured was not past persecution?
Well, in our brief, Your Honor, certainly we cited Marcoux at page 51 that talked about a situation where this court found past persecution, where the individual was beaten to the point of unconsciousness because of listening to Radio Free Europe, threatened by police officers who beat him and threatened to kill him if he didn't silence himself and confiscated his possessions. Also, Prasad, which is an older case in this circuit that has found my time is up. May I continue?
Sure.
That has found that acts more egregious than what petitioner experienced in this situation were found not to rise to the level of past persecution. Here the IJ did not cite any precedent, but did make a finding that assuming that she was credible and that the events that, to which she testified transpired, that she had not established that that conduct rose to the level of persecution as contemplated by the board and the court's case law.
Sounds like your office is trying to run from pillar to post to cover all of these cases.
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Sounds like you're overwhelmed with lots of cases.
As far as cases in before the
immigration cases, I mean.
We certainly are not wanting for work, Your Honor.
Yeah.
All right,
this court is more than well aware, but I'm certainly if the panel has further concerns about the posture or the position of the government in this case, I would be more than happy to file a supplemental brief explaining
where we are. We'll let you know if that's necessary.
But I appreciate your Honor's time. Thank you so much.
We'll hear rebuttal.
Your Honors, I just wanted to note that we believe that the CAR's petition actually should be granted by this court, and that if anything, that the only petition that should be remanded is Mr. Singh's, for the reason being that as my colleague pointed out, that the BIA did in fact never address the credibility arguments that were in fact raised before it.
Did you bring that to us this time around?
Your Honor, it was noted in the brief that the BIA did not address the credibility arguments that were before it.
Did you make that an issue, though, or did you just note it?
It was noted, Your Honor. It was
not an issue.
It was not made an issue. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you very much for your arguments. The case is heard will be submitted.